Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Monday, March 10th, 2025. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Into Action on page 83. The fourth paragraph, beginning with, if we are painstaking about this phase, and we will be reading and commenting on two sentences ending with a new freedom and a new happiness. Today's readers are Stephanie R., the 12 steps, Michelle J., the 12 traditions, and our big book readers are Nancy P. in the text, Craig F. on page 164, and Marjo is our backup reader, our beloved backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and our second-hour moderator is Kathy C. The share ID for Sunday, March 9th, 2025, is 22,235. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, family. This is Stephanie R. from Missouri. Here are our 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. I will now ask Michelle J. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Morning, family. This is Michelle J. from Texas. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Take some pass.
Thank you, Michelle. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 again to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Into Action on page 83, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, if we are painstaking about this phase, and we will be reading and commenting on two sentences ending with a new freedom and a new happiness. I will now ask Nancy P. to begin reading.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. So those two sentences, well, there's three things. There's a preface, if we're painstaking, and then two promises. We're going to be amazed before we're halfway through, and we're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. I mean, it's almost every word is a promise, you know, like every new and freedom and happiness and all that. Those things were, I didn't know the meaning of those words before I recovered. But the preface, if we're painstaking, if means promise, consequence, or threat. If we are pains, if I take pains to do what I'm told and not do it my way and start at the beginning and do it in order, then I'm going to get all this stuff that they promise us in the nine-step promises. But if I'm not painstaking, if I try to put it together with, you know, scotch tape and bubble gum, then I'm going to get nothing, you know. And today, I'm still extremely vigilant over taking pains in my recovery. I write an 11-step inventory 365 days a year, no matter what. I don't hurt myself with food under any circumstances. I help other people, you know, even when it's inconvenient. And in fact, I would say, you know, like in Bill's story, when it says, you know, they threw themselves into this way of life, they found that it works even in rough going. And I think it works especially in rough going. You know, this stuff works for me. These promises come true for me when I need them the most. I mean, anybody can skip down the road of happy destiny, la, 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 and, you know, think life is great. But what about when you lose your job or you get a divorce or your kid gets hurt or arrested or, you know, something awful happens? You know, then that's when I want to know a new freedom and a new happiness. And that came true for me. I mean, you know, I recovered in the midst of this family crisis. My daughter was self-harming and hacking herself up with a razor blade and burning herself to a crisp. Still, even though I cried forever, it seemed. I knew a happiness and a freedom that I had never known before because I wasn't eating compulsively and I wasn't struggling not to eat compulsively. The desire to eat had been removed, and I have never stopped being grateful for that, ever. And, the halfway through part, I'll wrap up with this, the halfway through part, I'm not really sure, you know, what that means, because I've been through the steps, I've had my spiritual awakening, but I still feel like it's just before I'm halfway through, because the destination, the journey itself is the destination. And the only thing that I can say is that, you know, if I do what I did yesterday, I'll get what I got today. And it starts with one thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thanks for getting us started, Nancy. And before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your first name, first initial, if you'd like to share. Who would like to get on the list to read today?
Liz S.
Tina S.
Oregon.
Tina S.
Okay, I've got Liz S., Tina S., Joanne. Did I hear Melissa C.?
Yeah. Joanne B.
Joanne B., I did. Liz S., Tina S., Joanne B., Melissa C.
Leia S.
Did I miss Leia S.? Was there a Liz S.?
Yes, that's me from Oregon.
Okay. All right. And then Tina S. from Florida, Joanne B., Melissa C., Leia S. Who else? Well, we're going to go with these names. We'll get more. All right, Liz S., you're up first, followed by Tina S. And when you introduce yourself, please include your state or country you're calling from. Go ahead, Liz.
Thank you so much for your service this morning. My name's Liz S. I am from Portland, Oregon, and I am a recovered compulsive eater by the grace of God. These two sentences, I think that they refer to the previous reading. It would follow from like normal English sentence construction that the sentence after refers to the sentence before, if you have a bridge word, and or if you have something that refers to this phase of our development, it's talking about the ninth step. Is talking about the ninth step and what you get when you have made your amends. That's my interpretation of it. I think it's been broadened from this, but strictly from the book as it is, I think it's just talking about the ninth step. And people in happiness and thankfulness and praise include the entire program in this paragraph when they refer to it. So I just don't know if that has any meaning in and of itself or not, but that's how I read it. I love the new freedom and I love the new happiness that I have. I now understand that there is a God, and I am so very happy to know that. And I thank God several times a day, and just say, "Thy will be done." I think that's the prayer I need to say, and that's the prayer that gets said whenever I am in doubt or ever having an issue. So, yes, it refers to step 9, but it also refers to the program. And I'm so glad to know that. This is a promise. These were a couple of promises. And I really love this chapter. I really love this whole chapter, but especially these little nuggets that everybody knows. And thank you so much for letting me share. And again, thank you for your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Liz S. from Oregon. Tina S., you are up next, followed by Joanne B. Go ahead, Tina.
Thanks so much for your service, Rick. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Yeah, wow, what a great couple sentences, and what a great lead share. You know, I too, you know, painstaking, you know, done with or employing great care and thoroughness, you know. And in a couple of paragraphs before, it says, you know, the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. You know, and I always say this because it's the truth. I didn't come here to get spiritual. I did not. I came here for the diet plan and to keep a normal body weight. And what I got is so much more. And it just says it in these couple sentences, you know. And then we'll be amazed. I'm totally amazed to this day, still amazed daily, you know, to know a new freedom and a new happiness. I never was free. Never was free. And what I talk about today, what I have today, is a freedom. And for me, that only comes about through working the 12 steps, you know. And it says, you know, for painstaking, and it was already shared, you know, the first 9 steps here is what we're talking about. Am I doing this? Am I doing them in order? You know, am I doing this stuff? Am I doing the deal one day at a time? You know, and for me, what I do know is I really had to be through several of my 9 steps before, you know, I had a freedom for sure, probably early on. But this happiness that comes about when I can look somebody else in the eye, when I don't have to walk down the other side of the street when you're walking by, how cool is that? You know, because for a very long time, I was either walking when I wasn't looking at anybody or had my head down. And I don't walk that way today. I don't walk that way. But what I do is I continue to do this still one day at a time, whether I want to or not, whether I like it or not, none of that even matters. It just matters that I do it. And so with that, I'll pass. I'm really looking forward to hearing some more shares. It's great stuff. Thanks.
Thank you, Tina S. from Florida. Joanne B., you're up next, followed by Melissa C. Go ahead, Joanne.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you very much for your service. This is Joanne B., calling in from Vermont. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and these 2 sentences are, to me, one of the cornerstones of this book. At this point, you know, we've gone through the work that's necessary to, you know, look at our glaring defects and, you know, ask for them to be removed, and also, you know, looking at the harms you've done and making amends. It's just like clearing off that wreckage of the past. And I love it. A new freedom and a new happiness. I definitely have a new freedom, and that freedom is freedom from being like a slave to food and diet, and the thought of food and the obsession with food and obsession with my body, which plagued me for years. And, you know, I'd go on a diet, I'd lose the weight, and I'd be happy for a while, but it never lasted. And it's because I didn't do the spiritual work. And if I don't continue doing spiritual work, I can easily let that freedom can be taken away if I'm not, you know, vigilant about looking at what I'm doing and on a daily basis. And also, like, when I stop accepting things as they are and taking my will back, then it becomes a struggle again. And if that continues, I'm going to turn to food at some point. So I really have to be careful. We all have to be careful. This freedom isn't free. It's work. But I'm so grateful that I finally got it, and I'm going to continue to work towards that freedom and happiness so that I can be the best person I can be to the people around me. Thanks. That's what I got.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Vermont. Melissa C., you're up next, followed by Leah S. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thanks so much for your service this morning. Good to hear you. I'm Alyssa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York. And, you know, I see words like painstaking. And, you know, I have to say, like, I always thought happiness and freedom would come from pain avoiding. And I think I lived, you know, the greater part of my life under that false notion that if I just avoided things that were difficult, if I covered up and pretended and, you know, just put it under the rug, then I could be happy and free. And that's definitely not what I learned from this process. And, you know, I think this is part of how we live our lives now. You know, if I want to maintain, if I want to grow in freedom and happiness, I have to continue to be painstaking. It wasn't just like I made my amends, you know, and now all good, I ride off into the sunset. It's a daily practice of, you know, of self-appraisal. You know, I mean, that's step 10, right? And for me, so I have to be painstaking. We're told, like, to be hard on ourselves, you know, consistently, not in a way that, like, I'm such a piece of crap, but that, but with an honest appraisal of myself. And that also requires, for me, having relationships with other compulsive overeaters who understand the necessity for being painstaking and thorough. And so, you know, things come up for me, and if I want to have happiness and freedom, I'll tell you, like, the greatest freedom I thought I ever experienced was being able to walk down the aisle of an airport without seeing everybody's eyes, you know, look away, saying, please don't let her sit next to me because she's so big. And that feeling, like that kind of feeling, to be free of that is wonderful. But also to be free of no matter what is going on in my life, whether my boss calls me in to discuss my lousy attendance, it happened, right? Or because I've got stuff going on in my life, or I'm like, you know, really in this hard season with my mom, I actually have a new happiness despite all of those things and a new freedom. And the truth is because today I'm trying to live in agreement with what God wants me to do. And then I'm okay. Even when things are painful and difficult, I have happiness and freedom. And, you know, the weight loss was like just the beginning. You know, it's everything in my life today. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Leah S., you're up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much for your service, Rick. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered and so grateful in Brooklyn, New York. Okay, I could talk forever. Painstaking. What is painstaking? What are they talking about? You know, first, when I first started doing step 4 through step 9, that is pain for me. Pain, because I don't want to tell you everything. I don't want to reveal everything, even to myself, you know. I don't want to make amends to you when I'm right. I don't want to. You know, this is a phase that I went through and keep on going through from 4 to 9. And it is not easy. So I'm feeling emotions. That's why they're saying painstaking. And, you know, something that one of my sponsors told me, you got pain when you eat and you put that other stuff more in your mouth, even though you know deep down you're full, you're just done, and you keep popping things into your mouth. You are in pain and more in pain as you do that. So why not go through this pain, and at the end of the pain, you will no longer have that pain. What is freedom? What is real happiness? When you feel it inside, when you really feel it inside, that, gosh almighty, I didn't never wanted to be in your, and here I'm just, you know, I'm okay with your company, and I'm able to move on, and I'm even able to be gracious. Oh, my God, what does that mean? It means I am fine. It's what God wants me to do, and it's where God wants me to be. What kind of freedom? Oh, my God, what am I going to eat in this restaurant? What am I going to eat? Doesn't even think about it. I don't even think about it. Is that kind of freedom? Or freedom from understanding and accepting and knowing I'm not running the world. Really, I'm not running the world. But I got a choice. I learned over here. I can do step 7, and I can do something in my part, you know, and I can pray. And it's just like on and on and on. Anyway, I will pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. Okay, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter Into Action on page 83, the fourth paragraph, beginning with, if we are painstaking about this phase, and we will be reading and commenting on two sentences ending with, a new freedom and a new happiness. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Thursday or Friday, please hold back and let others share. So please give me your first name and first initial to get on the list. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Kathy S.
Davidson.
Kathy S. David M. Was that David M?
Yeah,
okay.
David.
Okay. Yeah, I barely hear you, David. It's a pretty bad connection.
Mary J.
Got you, Mary. Well, you guys are taking it easy on me today. Who else would like to share their experience, strength, and hope on those two sentences?
Elizabeth D.
Okay, got you, Elizabeth. So here's who I have. I have Kathy S., David M., Mary J., and Elizabeth D. We definitely have room and time for more. Okay, we're going to go with this four. Kathy S., you're up next, followed by David M. Go ahead, Kathy.
Thanks, Rick. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And, yeah, I really appreciate the shares. It just totally reiterates the disoriented and just the crazy perception of the alcoholic, you know, the idea that to avoid pain is going to be the best way. And it just always brought me so much more pain. The most painstaking phase, and I know we are talking about step 9, that the hardest part of this whole process was the research to even get here, to get into these rooms, all the binging and just the avoidance, the pain avoidance that just brought me to my knees, broken into a place of true surrender, because there was nothing I could do to stop this train and the cycle. You know, and the new freedom and new happiness from working the steps in entire abstinence and having that spiritual experience and awakening, this freedom that I have, like I don't have to run from fear anymore or be trapped by my life and circumstances, being a caregiver, first, you know, raising 3 kids, but now taking care of aging parents. It's I have a free life, and this is my career. It wasn't my career of choice, but when I finally surrendered to God and God's plan, the gifts and talents that I have today in recovery with patience and love and just being learning to be tolerant and using this whole classroom of life and the people in it is just, it's this It's a journey to learn contentment. That is the new happiness. Because before, to me, happiness was a bowl of ice cream. But that happiness always had the worst consequences to it. There was always something, you know, like looming over, that, talk about the other shoe about to drop, you know. And once I ignited that allergy, one bowl of ice cream is never enough. It was so much, it took so much more, and it never led to happiness. It was just destruction. It was pain. It was agony. It was just immeasurable suffering and bitter remorse. I mean, just everything described in all the prior chapters. But today, this happiness of just understanding that I, even when I'm disturbed, going through these processes and seeing where my distorted thinking and my beliefs have got me, are leading me astray, you know, I can be brought back to peace. And just this trust that God is my solution. God has the best laid out for me. And this moment is exactly what it's supposed to be. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. This is something that I never felt, you know, this comfort in my own skin. And yeah, and I'm just so grateful. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy S. from Georgia. David M., you're up next, followed by Mary J. Go ahead, David.
Thanks, Rick. David M. from Florida. Glad to be here. Painstakingly, I don't want to do the work. You have to do the work to get free, and you have to do the steps. You have to call people. It's just like, why can't I just, like, not do all the work? Why can't it just come to me? But you have to do the homework. You have to read. You know, it's, I'm sorry if it sounds lazy, but I am. But, you know, I have to do it, you know, to do it, to get free, to get the freedom. And the freedom, you know, you think that doing what you want is free. That's what I always thought. I'm free. I can do what I want. I'm doing what I want. But then I realized that's just making you a slave. It's like, oh, I can eat what I want. Nope. You know, you become a slave. That's what happens. And then it's not until you're free to choose is when you're free. I can choose to eat this instead of that. I can choose to eat a healthy meal. You know, that's freedom. And I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for this program, all the fellows that have been helping me through my relapses, and everybody here, you guys know who you are. I'm doing well this time, and I'm push forward and keep the ball rolling and just keep doing the work. So that's good. You got to keep going, doing the work. So I'm going to go ahead and pass. Thank you.
Thank you, David M. from Florida. Mary J., you're up next, followed by Elizabeth D. Go ahead, Mary. Mary J., hit star one.
I am just babbling on and forgot to hit star one, so I apologize. I am Mary J. from California. And the reason I got on is that I keep hearing a delightful person from England who says, even if you don't know what to share, take the courage and hit star one. So this is just a courageous, I'm going to share comment. It is fascinating to me to have, this is the second time through the big book now, listening to the vision meeting in the morning. And The last time we went through this part of the steps, I thought of a couple of things way back in my ancient history that I had just buried because I was embarrassed by my behavior, and I uncovered those feelings, and I gathered my courage because of listening to these beautiful shares, and made amends to a couple of people the last time we went through the book. Well, this time I've been listening, and I had some amends where I had stolen food from people that I don't even remember their names. And so one of my sponsors suggested that I just donate to a a group that feeds the poor. And so once again, listening to the vision meetings in the morning, I've been able to clean a little bit more of clean up a little bit more of my past. And I've donated money to a very worthy cause. And I do feel very a lot freer than I did before, because now that I think about this, I stole money from people in my dorm at college. And now I can say, I can just laugh and smile and feel free about, well, I was a kid, I was doing the best I could, and I was in the disease of overeating. So I love, love, love these vision meetings and the diving into each paragraph and then the feeling of freedom that follows when I've done the work. So thank you, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary J. from California, and Elizabeth D. You're up, and then we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. I love the shows I've heard. I love the focus on the ninth step, that this is what happens for me when I am even halfway through doing my nine-step work in entire abstinence. And what strikes me this morning is what a different life it is for me today from when I was younger and stuck in an overweight body, 265 pounds, and I was in a job that I hated, and my relationships were okay, but I didn't share who I was. I was not authentic with people, and I was so stuck, and my idea, and so unhappy. But I would have periods of happiness, but then mostly it was just this feeling of being in a place where I just couldn't escape, and I didn't really know what the problem was. And mainly I thought, if I just lose weight, everything will be perfect. But, you know, that wasn't the problem. I realize that now. I was stuck. I was in bondage to myself, to my own self. And working this program, I feel so differently. It's like night and day, and it's just so wonderful to come to these meetings and be reminded that what awaited me, and I didn't know it at the time, was a new freedom and a new happiness. When I was in that stuck place, I thought freedom was freedom to eat whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted to. I thought that was freedom. And to do whatever I wanted to, step on other people's toes, say whatever I wanted to, whenever I wanted to, et cetera. That was freedom. And happiness was, you know, Friday night, you have my stash of food and four videos and spend the weekend, you know, cloistered in my house with my food and the life that I was leading on a screen. That, I thought, was happiness. And today I know that the new happiness and the new freedom comes when I work this program. And I don't even have words for how different my life is today. So full of deep and meaningful and nourishing relationships, work that I love, a child who brings me joy and challenges, but definitely joy more than anything else, and a happy marriage, and a life beyond my wildest dreams. And so that's what a new freedom and a new happiness means for me. And when I...
Gentle reminder.
Entirely at, thank you. I'll wrap up with this. For me, the answer was this. Entire abstinence, and then aligning my will to my higher power's will by working the steps of this program in sequence, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth D. from Massachusetts. Who else would like to share on what was read? If you shared on Thursday and Friday, please hold back. We're on page 83, the fourth paragraph, beginning with if we are painstaking about this phase and reading through two sentences ending with a new freedom and a new happiness.
Can so, I yeah. be from Florida?
So I heard Craig F. And who was from Florida?
Jeannie B.
Okay.
Can
Jeannie. Was that Jen?
Genoa.
Kim. Kim A.
Oh, Kim. Kim A. Got you, Kim.
Genoa B. From Nevada.
Okay, Genoa.
Mm-hmm. Betsy P. Betsy P. from South Carolina.
Okay, Betsy.
Anne Marie M.
Okay. All right, Anne Marie. We're going to stop here, and then we'll see where we are with time. So, all right, I've got Craig F., Jeannie B., Kim A., Genoa V., Betsy P., and Anne Marie. Let's go ahead and kick us off with this third group, Craig.
Okay, thanks, Rick. Thanks for your service this morning. My name is Craig F., and I'm recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And, you know, many, many years ago, I was went with a friend to an AA meeting. It was a speaker meeting, and the topic was the promises, and they had speakers lined up that each spoke on the promises. And I walked out of that meeting, and I said, you know, that was really a good meeting, but I don't really feel any of those promises coming true in my life today. And the person that was with me knew me very well, kind of laughed and said, of course not, you haven't done the work. And I, you know, it kind of upset me a little bit at the time, because it was true. You know, I was expecting these ninth step promises to start coming true in my life simply because I was abstinent and simply because I was sitting in meetings all the time. And the book is pretty clear here. It says, if I'm painstaking about the work, if I'm painstaking about this phase of my development, in other words, if I've done the work and done it in a painstaking manner, we can't get this program by osmosis. You know, I can't sit in enough meetings and absorb enough information to know this kind of recovery. And I thought I could. The fact is, I thought I could. I felt better. You know, I felt a kind of freedom and a kind of happiness when I found out that this was a disease and that it wasn't a matter of just a bad character, bad will, you know, lack of self-will. I felt some freedom and some happiness in that. And I felt some happiness in finding a group of people that shared my problem. You know, that made me, it brought me some joy, because now I wasn't alone anymore. I had this fellowship, and I kind of thought that's what they meant, but because I had no idea. It's like a blind man that's never seen. I didn't know what sight meant. You know, I didn't know what happiness and freedom was, because I had never really truly experienced it. And until I did this work in a painstaking manner, and I don't know that I know the full impact of that yet today. You know, I'm still bound by certain physical restrictions from, you know, I had an awful lot of weight to lose, and I'm not through losing it. And I've injured myself. I have bone on bone knees. I have other problems that are a result of carrying too much weight for years.
Simple reminder.
Thank you. And there's a freedom there's a part of the freedom that I really don't experience yet, but there is a mental freedom and an emotional and a spiritual freedom that is still beyond measure, and I'm grateful for it. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Craig F. from Oklahoma, and Jeannie B., you're up next, followed by Kim A. And guys, we've got a lot of names and running out of time. So if there's any way you could, you know, sort of shorten up your share a little bit, we might be able to get more people in. Go ahead, Jeannie B.
Hi, this is Jeannie B., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. This two sentences was made for me because of vision and going through the way we go through paragraph by paragraph. New things came up for me, 3 new amends, some big came up for me this time around. And last night I took the bit in my teeth and I made one of them, and it was a so scary, remarkable experience. I thought I was like ready for it. I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And then yesterday when I wrote out what I was going to say, I was like, wow, I started crying. And then I started getting more and more nervous as the hour approached for the pre-designated time to make this call to these wonderful friends I'd had more than 10 years of my life in Washington, D.C. And they were very, very close friends, and we had lost contact. And I was sure in retrospect that it was, they were angry and upset with me. And because of my behavior, I was selfish in that relationship, and I was immature, and I was entitled. And I will just tell you the entitled part, which was they were more successful than I was at that time in my life. And I went out, they were a couple, they are a couple. And when I went out with them, I never once reached for the check that I can remember. Rarely, if I did, it was for something cheap or something. And I was more than happy to take what they were offering, to take advantage of their generosity. And it has haunted me, but not actively so much that I had it on a list before. So last night, they now live in Mexico, and I caught up with them, and then I cried and cried and read them what I wrote and made a financial amends. And they decided it would go to a charity, but I have awoken this morning with a lightness and a freedom that I'm shocked to feel. I did not think that this would feel so different, but I do today. And what that tells me is that I didn't even understand that this was such a burden on my soul, and that this was the shame that I carried, the shame that I carry in anything that I haven't cleared up. Is a real burden on my soul, and lifting it meant I didn't have nightmares for the first time in a long time. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you, Jeannie B. from Florida. Kim A., you're up next, followed by Genoa B. Go ahead, Kim.
Thanks. So, I have worked the steps every which way. I was in for 18 years before I left in frustration because I wasn't finding any kind of freedom. Even when I was abstinent, even when I wasn't eating compulsively, I still found that I was tied into that obsession. And for me, that was the end game, that freedom from the obsession with food, and I wasn't finding it. So I left in frustration. And when I came back, I found a sponsor who took me through the steps quickly, which was like a new idea to me. And, you know, the reason why she took me through the steps quickly is because we don't really expect to find relief from our eating right away. It's not until we hit that first amends and then don't wait until we complete our amends to go on to steps 10, 11, and 12. The way I was sponsored, I made my first amends. And then as I continued to make amends through the years, I went into steps 10, 11, and 12. But what brought me the most freedom was not using a food plan, because as long as I was using a food plan and I was trying to avoid certain ingredients and I was trying to weigh and measure and plan out my food, that was part of my dance, right? That was part of the games that I played with food. The Big Book tells me really clearly that just like alcohol wasn't the problem, food's not my problem. The problem is in the thinking. So if I work those steps quickly, then the thinking, which is what leads me to need the ease and comfort from food, my thinking can be changed. I can't come here and try to manage and control my food with a food plan. Now, this is me, right? I can't do that because I'm a chronic compulsive eater. And we learn in the doctor's opinion that the chronic type can't be helped by any human aid solution, right? So for me, a food plan and having a food sponsor and all that stuff that worked for a lot of people, it wasn't working for me because those are all human aid solutions that don't work for the chronic type like me. So when I got away from all of that, that's when I found freedom and a new happiness. Because instead of focusing on the symptom, I just focused on working the steps quickly, exactly as they're written here. And once I got into steps 10, 11, and 12, that's when I really kind of started to see freedom in every area of my life, not just with needing to eat compulsively, but with all of that crap in my head because it was no longer building up. It wasn't building up anymore because I was kind of tackling it on a like real-time basis, right? If I'm doing my 10th step throughout my day, then I'm getting... Thanks, I'll wrap up. I'm getting the resentments and the self-pity and the fear as it's coming up and it's not building up. So if anybody is just struggling with the idea of freedom, there are other ways to go about and doing this. Thanks for letting me share. This is Kim A. in New York City.
Thank you, Kim A. from New York. Genoa V., you're up next, followed by Betsy P. Go ahead, Genoa, and just if you guys could shorten up your shares a little bit, maybe we can get you all in.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. Genoa V. as in Vegas, in Nevada. I just wanted to get in here and share. I heard the speaker yesterday talking about showing up at Vision and being a spectator, and that's what I've done. You guys have really impressed upon me this need to do this work, painstaking effort, so that I get that change. And I have experienced that. I have experienced that food neutrality, and that peace and freedom, and now I'm back in relapse. And just thinking about all the work, doing that nightly review 365 days a year, it's like, it's so much work. And but I know and I believe it's the only way for me to get recovery, to get this freedom. And it just feels like so much. And, you know, a lot of times I've been on this meeting and I don't want to share because I don't know anything, you know. I just don't know a doggone thing because every time I think I know, I end up in trouble. And I'm going to just end with this, and that is that I'm a great starter. I'm a great starter, and as soon as the heat is off my, you know what, I'm back. I'm thinking I got it. And the worst thing that happened for me, which I thought was the best, was that I'm a 100-pounder. I lost the weight quickly, and somewhere I switched and started equating recovery to weight loss, and it absolutely is not. I thank you guys for everything that you share, and I hope to get back into this freedom and all of that. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Genoa V. from Nevada. Betsy P., you're up next, followed by Anne Marie M., if we have time. Go ahead, Betsy.
Okay, sorry, I unmuted. Thank you for your service, Rick, and thanks for everybody who's here. I'm Betsy P. from South Carolina, compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to say that I'm struggling with relapse, and I was talking to my sponsor Saturday morning and telling her about another relapse. And one of the things that has been an issue for me my whole life is that I want things to be easy. I don't want to do the work. I just want to get what I want without doing the work. And, you know, one of the things I said to my sponsor, that's what I said to her, I want God to just do this for me. And, of course, we talked about self-pity right there, and we had talked about self-sufficiency as well. But when I read this paragraph, this painstaking about this phase of our development, that is exactly what I have not done. I mean, I've done it for a short period of time with my first experienced becoming abstinent, and that lasted, you know, that I was absent for about almost 2 years. And but since I went out back in November, it's been a real struggle to get abstinent again. And, you know, here it says painstaking. So if I want this, I've got to do the work. And today, thank goodness, I'm willing to do the work, and I am grateful to do the work. That's the other piece of it, is the lack of gratitude. Here I have this entire group of people who are willing to share their experience, strength, and hope with this. And it's not harder for anybody else. It's not harder for me than it has been for anybody else. And I just have a lot of gratitude today for, you know, where I am today, just for today. And so I plan on being painstaking about this. And freedom, when I'm eating, there is no freedom.
Good reminder.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close with that. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Thank you, Betsy P. from South Carolina. We are out of time. Sorry, Anne-Marie M., if you could get on the next meeting to share. Thank you, everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, March 10th, 2025, is 22,236. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Craig F. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Sure will, Rick. Thanks. This is Craig F., recovered in Brookner, Oklahoma. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with God is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Rick?
Okay, I was waiting.